A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. Tier 10 in the DIY Deep Inventory series, and it's the one that exposes who's actually read a spec sheet and who's been using duct tape for everything since 2004. The question is deceptively simple. What tape should you actually own? But the real project here is understanding why the wrong tape costs you more in cleanup and surface damage than the right tape ever cost to buy. Daniel wants a practical inventory. Painter's tapes, electrical, duct, gaffer, VHB, captain, PTFE, the works, wind temperature limits, residue behavior, when cheap is fine, and when premium saves your deposit. Let's build it.
The tape drawer is the graveyard of good intentions. Everyone has one. It's got three roles. Masking tape that's been there since the Obama administration, electrical tape that's now more adhesive ooze than tape, and a roll of duct tape that's fused to itself into a hockey puck. And people reach into that drawer for everything from hanging a picture to patching a vacuum hose, then act surprised when the picture frame crashes down at 3 in the morning and takes a chunk of drywall with it.
The crash is the moment you learn that tape isn't one product. It's a family of engineered systems that happen to share a cylindrical form factor.
Here's the thing most people don't internalize until they've ruined something expensive. Every tape is three components that have to work together. You've got the backing, the carrier. That's the cloth or plastic or paper you're actually touching. You've got the adhesive formulation, a completely separate chemistry problem. And you've got the release coating, which lets you unroll the thing without it becoming a sticky brick. Change any one of those three, and you've got a fundamentally different product.
The person who says tape is tape is making the same category error as someone who says metal is metal, and then uses a cast iron pan as a hammer.
That's a perfect analogy, because cast iron will work as a hammer exactly once, and then you've got shards of cast iron and a hole in your wall. Which brings us to the framework Daniel's really asking for. Before we can build an inventory, we need to understand the seven failure modes that make tape selection matter.
Walk me through them.
First, residue left behind, the classic duct tape sin. Second, surface damage on removal, worse than residue, because you're repairing paint or drywall. Third, bond failure under load, the tape holds for a week, then whatever you mounted hits the floor. Fourth, adhesive migration. The adhesive flows out from under the tape edges over time, especially in heat, creating a sticky border that collects dust. Fifth, UV degradation. Sunlight breaks down the polymer chains, and your tape turns brittle or gooey. Sixth, temperature excursion failure. Tape rated for room temperature gets put in an attic that hits 60 degrees Celsius, and the adhesive lets go. 7th. Adhesion starvation on low surface energy plastics. Polyethylene, polypropylene, PTFE, these are molecularly slippery, and most adhesives can't get a grip.
The seven deadly sins of tape, and most people commit at least four of them before breakfast.
The cost isn't just the tape, it's the repainting, the patching, the ruined cable jacket, the electronics board that shorted because the tape failed and let moisture in. Daniel's asking us to build an inventory that dodges all seven, and we're going to do it in three tiers, compact, professional, and the 10-tape solution that handles 95% of household problems.
Let's start with the tape that looks simplest and is actually one of the most engineered products in the entire category. Painter's masking tape.
This is where the cheap versus premium question gets answered viscerally. Standard crepe paper masking tape, the beige stuff for $2 a roll, has a temperature ceiling of about 60 degrees Celsius. Leave it on a window frame in direct sun for 3 days, and the adhesive starts cross-linking. It bonds to the paint. When you try to remove it, it fractures into 100 little pieces, each one glued to your surface like a tiny spiteful postage stamp.
I've lived that nightmare. You think you're being clever by masking off trim before painting, and 3 days later you're on a ladder with a razor blade, questioning your life choices.
That's just the residue failure. The precision edge problem is separate. Standard masking tape has a wavy adhesive edge at the microscopic level, paint seeps under it, and you get that feathered bleeding line. This is where Frog Tape and the 3M 2090 series come in. Frog Tape uses paint block technology, a hydrophilic polymer in the adhesive that swells when it contacts water. When you apply latex paint, the moisture activates the polymer, it expands, and it physically seals the edge against bleed under. It's not a better version of the same thing. It's a completely different mechanism.
The tape is reacting to the paint in real time. What about temperature limits on the premium stuff?
Standard masking tape, 60 Celsius. Premium painter's tape like Frog Tape or 3M 2090, 90 Celsius. If you need to go higher, masking near a powder coating oven, or doing a high temperature paint cure, 3M makes the 232 high temperature masking tape rated to 120 Celsius. But here's the catch, UV resistance is poor across the board. Even the premium stuff should be removed within 14 days outdoors. Leave it on for a month and you're rolling the dice.
The rule is, buy premium if the edge matters. If it's going to be on for more than 24 hours, or if it's anywhere near sunlight. The cheap stuff is fine for a 3-hour interior job where you're pulling it off while the paint is still wet.
That pull-it-while-wet technique is something professionals know that DIYers often don't. If you wait until the paint is fully dry, the tape can pull chips off the edge of your new paint line. Remove it at a 45-degree angle while the paint is still tacky and you get a razor-sharp edge.
Let's move to electrical tape. This is the one people grab for everything. Cable management, grip repair, temporary fixes, and it's wrong for almost all of those.
Electrical tape is a safety product first, and a convenience product never. The industry standard is 3M Super 33 Plus, PVC backing with a rubber-based adhesive rated to 600 volts, operating range minus 18 Celsius to 105 Celsius. The problem is that cheap PVC electrical tape, the 10-pack for $3, has a completely different thermal profile. The adhesive softens at 50 Celsius. Put that inside a hot attic near a recessed light fixture, and the tape unwinds itself. Now you've got exposed conductors in an enclosed space that's already hot.
Which is how house fires start. So the cheap electrical tape isn't just worse, it's actively dangerous in the wrong application.
There's another failure pattern, UV degradation. Electrical tape is not UV stable. Use it outdoors to wrap a low-voltage landscape lighting connection, and within 6 months the backing is cracked and the adhesive is a sticky mess. For outdoor electrical work, you need heat-shrink tubing over the tape, or a product designed for it.
What about this self-amalgamating silicone tape I keep seeing? The stuff that only sticks to itself?
That's 3M70, and it's a completely different category. It's not adhesive tape in the traditional sense, there's no sticky layer. It's a silicone rubber tape that fuses to itself when you stretch it and wrap it under tension. Within 24 hours, the layers cross-link into a single solid piece of silicone. It's rated to 180 Celsius, completely waterproof, and used for sealing cable jacket repairs and antenna connections. But here's the key point. It's not interchangeable with PVC electrical tape. PVC tape provides the voltage insulation. Self-amalgamating tape provides the environmental seal. In professional electrical work, you use both. PVC tape first for dielectric strength, then silicone tape over it for weatherproofing.
The person who says, "I'll just use silicone tape for everything," is missing the voltage reading.
Silicone tape is not rated for 600 volts as a primary insulator. It's a secondary jacket. Use it alone on a mains voltage connection, and you're creating a hazard.
Now we get to the main event, the tape war that divides households. Duct tape versus gaffer tape.
This is the most misunderstood distinction in the entire tape world, and I need to be very clear, duct tape and gaffer tape are not the same thing. They are not interchangeable. Duct tape has a polyethylene backing with a rubber adhesive. High tensile strength, 30 to 50 pounds per inch. It's designed for permanent, industrial applications. It leaves residue. It degrades in UV within 6 months. And critically, the adhesive hardens and becomes brittle below 10 degrees Celsius. If you use duct tape to bundle cables in an unheated garage in winter, the adhesive literally crystallizes and the tape falls off. Gaffer tape has a cloth backing with a synthetic rubber adhesive. It's designed for temporary use in entertainment and photography. Holding cables to stages, marking positions, securing backdrops. The tensile strength is lower, 20 to 30 pounds per inch. but is designed for clean removal. No residue for up to 6 months on most surfaces. It has a matte finish so it doesn't reflect stage lights. It's rated to 90 Celsius. And it tears cleanly by hand in both directions, which matters when you're on a film set and can't find scissors.
Gaffer tape is actually weaker than duct tape. That's the part that surprises people.
Gaffer tape sacrifices raw strength for safety. It's the tape you use when you need something to hold temporarily and then disappear without a trace. Duct tape is the tape you use when you're sealing a duct, which, by the way, is what it was invented for. It was originally called duct tape because it was made with cotton duck cloth and used for sealing ammunition cases in World War II. The duct spelling came later when HVAC contractors started using it.
The practical takeaway is, if you're a renter, you should never let duct tape touch a wall, a floor, or a piece of furniture. Gaffer tape for everything temporary. Duct tape for permanent repairs on surfaces you don't care about.
Here's the price comparison that makes the decision obvious. A roll of cheap duct tape is $3. A roll of ProGaff or 3M 6969 gaffer tape is $12 to $15. The duct tape saves you $9 up front. But if that duct tape pulls paint off a rental wall, you're looking at a $50 repair or a deposit deduction. The gaffer tape is the cheapest insurance policy you'll ever buy.
Let's talk about the tape that's actually designed for mounting. VHB.
VHB stands for Very High Bond, and it's 3M's acrylic foam tape line. The 4900 series is clear, general purpose. The 5900 series is black and rated for higher temperatures, -40 Celsius to 149 Celsius. These are structural adhesives in tape form. They're used in automotive manufacturing, building construction, and signage. The bond strength reaches 80 to 90% of ultimate after 24 hours, with full cure at 72 hours.
72 hours. That's the detail that trips people up. They stick something to the wall with VHB, let go, and expect it to hold immediately.
Then it falls, and they blame the tape. VHB requires patience. It also requires a minimum application temperature of 10 degrees Celsius. Apply it to a cold surface, and the adhesive can't flow into the microscopic pores of the substrate. You get a weak bond that fails progressively. Surface energy is critical, too. VHB bonds beautifully to metal, glass, and painted surfaces. It struggles with polyethylene, polypropylene, and PTFE, those low surface energy plastics. For those, you need a surface primer or a different adhesive chemistry entirely.
The 5900 series going to 149 Celsius is impressive. Where would you actually need that in a household context?
Inside a car in summer, the dashboard can hit 90 Celsius. Near a stove or oven, even higher. Mounting something to the exterior of a metal door that faces south in Arizona. That surface is going to see temperatures that would turn standard foam tape into soup. The 5952, the half-inch black VHB in the 5900 series, is what I'd recommend for any mounting application where temperature is an unknown variable.
VHB is the answer when someone asks, can tape hold a shelf bracket without screws?
VHB can hold significant static loads, pounds per square inch in the double digits, but it's not designed for dynamic loads or peel forces. If you mount a shelf bracket with VHB and then someone leans on the front edge of the shelf, that's a peel force, and VHB's peel strength is much lower than a shear strength. The bracket pivots off the wall and everything comes down. For shelf brackets, you still want mechanical fasteners. VHB is for flat mounting, signs, hooks, cable clips, trim pieces.
That distinction between shear and peel strength is going to save someone a broken toe. Let's move into the specialty tapes.
Captain is polyimide tape, and it's the tape you buy when you need something to survive temperatures that would melt solder. Continuous rating, 260 Celsius. Intermittent, 400 Celsius. It's amber-colored, translucent, and essential for electronics work, masking circuit boards during reflow soldering, insulating components. It's also become the standard build surface tape for 3D printer heated beds because it handles the bed temperatures and provides a surface that PLA and ABS will actually stick to.
Most households don't need Captain.
Most households don't need Captain until they need to repair a laptop charger cable that's frayed near the connector, and suddenly they want something that won't melt when the connector heats up. It's a niche product, but when it's the right product, nothing else works.
The plumber's friend. And apparently also the gas fitter's friend, but with a critical distinction.
PTFE tape. Teflon tape is not a tape in the adhesive sense at all. It has no adhesive. It's a thread sealant and lubricant. When you wrap it around pipe threads, it fills the microscopic gaps between the male and female threads, and it reduces friction so you can actually tighten the joint properly. The critical distinction is density. Standard PTFE tape is about 0.75 millimeters thick, the white stuff for water pipes. Gas-rated PTFE tape is 0.2 millimeters thick, it's yellow, and it's denser to fill the larger thread gaps on gas fittings. Use the thin white tape on a gas line, and you can get a slow leak that you won't smell until it's a problem.
That's a mistake that could kill someone. So the rule is, white for water, yellow for gas, never substitute.
For pneumatic fittings and hydraulic lines, there are specific PTFE tapes rated for those pressures and chemistries. But for household use, white and yellow cover it.
Double-sided tapes. You mentioned three families, foam, tissue, and carpet.
Foam mounting tape, like 3M 411 or 4226, is compressible and gap-filling. It's for uneven surfaces, mounting a hook to a textured wall, or attaching a sign to brick. The foam conforms to the surface irregularities. Temperature range is minus 40 to 93 Celsius. Tissue tape, like 3M 9988 or 9448A, is thin, fractions of a millimeter, with very high shear strength. It's for splicing paper, mounting lightweight objects to smooth surfaces, and applications where you don't want a visible gap. Carpet tape is the third category, aggressive rubber adhesive on a cloth or film backing designed to hold carpet to concrete or wood subfloors. It's not for delicate surfaces. It will remove paint, wood fibers, and possibly your will to live if you use it on drywall.
The common mistake is using foam tape where tissue tape is needed and getting a visible gap, or using tissue tape where foam tape is needed and having it fail because it can't fill the surface roughness.
The gap is the giveaway. If you can see daylight between the mounted object and the wall, you use the wrong tape.
These have become the default rental solution, but they fail in predictable ways.
The engineering behind command strips is genuinely elegant. The adhesive is a viscoelastic polymer. It behaves like a solid under quick forces, but flows like a liquid under slow, sustained stress. When you pull the tab parallel to the wall, you're stretching the polymer, and it elongates and releases from the surface without concentrating stress at any single point. That's why it doesn't tear paint off. The force is distributed across the entire bond area as it releases.
The failure pattern?
Three main ones. The standard strips are rated to 50 Celsius. In a bathroom that gets steamy, or on a wall that gets direct sun through a window, you can exceed that. 3M makes a waterproof variant specifically for bathrooms. Second, surface texture. The adhesive needs full contact. On a textured wall, orange peel, knockdown, anything rougher than smooth, the contact area drops dramatically and so does the holding strength. Third, application temperature. Below 15 Celsius, the adhesive can't flow properly during the initial bond. You need to warm the surface first.
The weight ratings?
Half a kilogram to 7.2 kilograms per strip pair, depending on the size. But those ratings assume ideal conditions. Smooth, clean, room temperature surface. On a textured wall, they rate by at least 50%.
Hook and loop. What's the difference between the industrial stuff and what you get at the craft store?
Industrial grade, like 3M SJ355er, has over 100 hooks per square centimeter. Consumer grade is 40 to 60. That's more than double the engagement points, which translates to higher shear strength. The other difference is the adhesive backing. Industrial Velcro uses VHB adhesive. Consumer grade uses a standard acrylic pressure-sensitive adhesive. For cable management specifically, 3M makes adhesive-backed cable ties, product 214, where the adhesive is formulated specifically for PVC cable jackets. Generic hook and loop with a random adhesive will fail on cables because PVC is one of those low-surface energy plastics.
If you're bundling cables under a desk, don't just grab any Velcro roll. Get the stuff with adhesive designed for the substrate.
Or skip the adhesive entirely and use plain hook and loop straps that wrap around the bundle. No adhesive, no failure pattern.
Surface protection films. This is the tape category for moving house and renovation.
3M makes specific surface protection films, 06147 and 06148, polyethylene with a rubber resin adhesive. They're designed to go down on finished wood, tile, vinyl, and protect against foot traffic, paint drips, and construction debris. they're UV stable for 60 days. The critical feature is that the adhesive doesn't transfer to the floor, no residue, no tape shadow, where the protected area looks different from the unprotected area. The alternative is rosin paper, which is cheap but absorbs moisture and can stain floors if it gets wet.
For a rental move, the 3M film is worth the premium because the tape shadow problem is real. You protect the floor for 2 weeks. Pull up the film, and now you've got a rectangle of slightly different colored floor that the landlord notices immediately.
That rectangle costs you your deposit. The film is $20 a roll. The deposit is thousands.
Let's build the inventories. Compact first. What fits in a shoebox and covers 80% of household needs?
Number 1. Frog tape or 3M 2090 painter's tape. For any painting where the edge matters. Number 2. 3M Super 33 plus electrical tape for actual electrical work, not cable management. Number 3, gaffer tape. Pro Gaff or 3M 69696-969 for temporary holding, cable bundling, and anything that touches a rental surface. Number 4, VHB tape 3M 5952 half inch for permanent mounting of hooks, clips, and trim. Number 5, double-sided foam tape, 3M 40111 for mounting to uneven surfaces. Number 6, PTFE tape, gas-rated yellow, because it works for water too, but water-rated doesn't work for gas. Number 7, packaging tape, 3M 371 for boxes and only for boxes. Number 8, command strips, medium waterproof, for rental walls where you can't use VHB.
That's a clean list. The 10-tape solution that solves 95% of problems.
Add Captain tape for electronics and high-temperature repairs and self-amalgamating silicone tape for outdoor electrical sealing. Those two, plus the Compact 8, get you to 10.
The professional deep inventory.
Add aluminum foil tape, Nashua 32-4 for HVAC duct sealing. It's rated to 177 Celsius and the acrylic adhesive is designed for metal ductwork. Add surface protection film, 3M 06147, for renovation and moving. Add carpet tape for flooring projects. Add reinforced filament tape, 3M 898, which has fiberglass strands running through it for when you need tensile strength that makes duct tape look like string. Add magnetic tape for removable signage and tool holders. Add hook and loop with VHB adhesive, 3M SJ35570, for heavy-duty removable mounting. And add 3M 232 high-temperature masking tape for exterior and high-heat painting.
Now, the part that's going to save people the most money, the 5 mistakes that undo everything we've just covered.
1. Using duct tape for anything that needs clean removal. Just don't. Duct tape is for permanent repairs on surfaces you don't care about. 2. Applying tape to cold surfaces. Below 10 Celsius, most pressure-sensitive adhesives can't flow properly. Warm the surface with a hairdryer first. 3. Expecting full bond strength immediately. VHB needs 72 hours. Command strips need 1 hour before loading. If you hang something and walk away, you're testing fate. 4. Using standard masking tape for exterior projects. The UV and heat will bake it on. Use premium and remove within 14 days. 5. Storing tape in a hot garage or direct sunlight. Heat accelerates adhesive degradation. Shelf life drops from 2 years to 6 months. Store tape indoors in a drawer at room temperature.
Label each row with the purchase date. Tape has a shelf life, and old tape fails in ways that look like surface problems, but are actually adhesive aging.
The adhesive oxidizes. The plasticizers migrate out. The backing gets brittle. A roll of electrical tape from 2019 is not the same product it was when you bought it.
Before we close, there's a forward-looking question worth flagging. The tape industry is moving toward bio-based adhesives and recyclable backings. 3M announced a 50% reduction in virgin plastic in tape packaging by 2027. The early bio-based tapes have lower temperature limits and shorter shelf lives. There's a real trade-off coming between sustainability and performance, and it's going to change what premium means.
That's going to be a fascinating shift. Right now, the performance benchmarks are all synthetic, petroleum-derived polymers optimized for decades. Replacing those with plant-based alternatives that match the temperature range and shelf life is a genuine material science challenge. I'll be watching that space.
The homework is audit your tape drawer tonight. Throw away anything that's been in a hot garage for more than a year. Buy the compact inventory. 8 rolls fits in a shoebox, and label every roll with the date. The cost is maybe $60. The avoided damage is easily 10 times that.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1860s, a small community of deaf Aboriginal people in the Simpson Desert developed a tactile sign language that was performed entirely on the speaker's own body rather than in the air, a behavioral adaptation that allowed communication across distances where hand signals were invisible in the heat shimmer.
Right. One thing to watch. As those bio-based adhesives hit the market, the failure pattern we've mapped today are going to shift. The temperature limits will change. The shelf lives will shorten. The rules we've just built will need updating, and the people who understand the engineering underneath will adapt faster than the people who just memorize brand names.
Learn the principles, not just the products.
This has been my Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you found this useful, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We read everyone, and Daniel's already lining up tier 11.
Wire, connectors, heat shrink, terminals. That one's going to be a workout.
See you then.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.